In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll start with a small confession. When I read this gospel passage, I thought about just choosing another one and hoping no one would even know the difference. I don't think any preacher would choose this text, but this is what is a sign for the day, so I decided to trust the wisdom of the lectionary. I don't know what to make of much of this passage. I'm not sure why Lazarus is named and the rich man isn't. Maybe it's just a way of turning things on their heads, as if to say God remembers the name of every poor person who cries out to God in prayer, but never even knew the rich man who never seemed to need or have time for God or the commandments. I don't know who the audience for this story is. Who is Jesus talking to here? Pharisees who loved money? The tax collectors who hung around him that made their living taking from the poor? Or maybe just his normal crowd that he picked up along the walk? But the one detail that does make me question the audience is that Jesus says these two people die and then go to Hades, the Greek word for the underworld and its ruler. Does he use that term because his audience would better understand it? It's different from the normal Jewish concept of the afterlife, and different from what becomes the classical Christian one too. But most importantly, it isn't immediately clear to me what this man's real crime is. Much is made of him being rich. He's simply called the rich man. That's his whole identity. And he dresses in expensive purple clothing and feasts every day. But I don't think it's quite as simple as just being rich. Jesus frequently says that the rich have already received their reward and that the first shall be last. But that's still far different from being tormented. This man is suffering. Some commentators remark that it's because he ignored Lazarus. But he didn't exactly ignore him. He knew who he was. When he sees him with Abraham, he acknowledges him by name and asks Abraham to send Lazarus to help him. Is it that he never even attempted to alleviate Lazarus' suffering in this life? I think maybe it's that he dehumanized him. Even in death, when he is suffering and Lazarus is resting with Abraham, he is still trying to treat him like a servant. He wants Lazarus to bring him water or to be sent to help his brothers. He talks to Abraham about him rather than addressing Lazarus directly. He saw Lazarus. He just saw him as the help, as an object, as someone unworthy of anything better. His wealth didn't cause the sort of blindness where he literally didn't see others. He just saw them as being less than himself, less human, less worthy, less lovable. Prosperity can have a way of creating such blindness in us. He didn't see Lazarus's actual plight, didn't care to talk to him, to understand, to empathize, to really connect. Lazarus was just another one of those needy ones, a taker, one placed on earth to serve or to be overlooked. I think that may have been his real offense. And it had run so deep in him that it had actually changed the rich man. He didn't recognize it in himself. He was still trying to talk to Abraham about Lazarus, even though he was right there, still trying to get another powerful person to order him around. He created the chasm between them because he didn't think he and Lazarus were actually the same at all. And then he had to deal with the consequences of that chasm in the afterlife. by separating himself from other people, people who God stood with, and he had made his own hell, and now he was living in it. The other thing I'm not sure about with this passage is who I'm supposed to identify with in the story. How do I apply this to me personally? I don't think we are Lazarus or the rich man. Both of those characters are dead. I think it's possible that we are the brothers, those who are still living and need to be warned, those who still have a chance to change our ways, those who should listen to Moses and the prophets. Otherwise, we will never understand how to interpret the teaching of Jesus, the one who rose from the dead. We are the ones he wants to warn. Don't create a chasm between yourself and other human beings, because you'll find that Jesus has cast his lot with the other side. That's a lesson I can understand, one that I can interpret in the light of Moses and the prophets, and one I can acknowledge is important today as we seem to continue to create chasms between ourselves and other human beings, people made in the image of God, as part of our normal daily course of living and being in the modern age. Do I, like the man in the story, create chasms between myself and people of different economic classes, such that I see them as fundamentally different? Do I couch it in language of poor choices or different values, but really still just talk about actual people as them and pretend we are categorically different? Do I treat them with suspicion or contempt, or just ignore them as not part of my problem and try to make sure there is space between us so I don't have to learn their names or look them in the eye or do something about the gulf? Have I somehow overlooked all the prophet's pleadings with God's people to care for the poor and the downtrodden because it's a mark of the kingdom of God? And have I then ignored it for so long that it's become easy to also ignore Jesus' own parables about this topic and think that he cares about other things more? Or maybe it's a different chasm I've created. Do I fail to acknowledge the fortuitous nature of being well-born in this country and think of immigrants as being less deserving? Do I overlook the inherent security I take for granted being a natural-born citizen and so fail to empathize with the ongoing fear of being an immigrant? Do I fail to recognize that Jesus was a sojourner and called his followers to be also, and therefore would be surprised that they were standing with Christ? Did I somehow miss the repeated commandments in the law to care for the foreigner and the alien in my land, and so wouldn't even listen to Jesus if the risen Christ told me to care for them himself? Or is my preferred chasm the one I feel exists between myself and those across the political or theological spectrum from me? Do I think they are so wrong as to be barely human, barely worth listening to, or acknowledging, or empathizing with? Do I somehow fail to grasp the reality that God continually reached out to a people who had repeatedly abandoned him, repeatedly commanded us to love our neighbors, only to finally give his life for those who were yet enemies, believing love could redeem them? Do I miss the whole point of the story of Christ because I don't even want to bridge the gap? The rich man in this story created the chasm himself. Lazarus sat right at his gate. He could have let him in, but he instead created a world between them, That happens all the time. Here's the thing that is really shocking to me, though. When the time comes and he realizes that God and the people of God are standing on the other side of the divide, he doesn't ask to join them. He doesn't say, "Father Abraham, I was wrong. Can I come over and be with you now?" He just asks for someone to bring water to him. For him, the chasm he created has become a permanent reality. And if God is on the other side, it seems he would prefer to just stay where he is. Here's the last thing I don't really know about this story. I'm not sure what he wanted to warn his brothers of. Would he have just said, "Take care of the poor, it's really important"? Or would he have said, "Listen to the law and the prophets. God was truly serious about all of those things he said"? Or would he have warned, "Look for God where you least expect to find God, and don't cut off people because you'll be separating yourself from the very presence of God"? I think all of those things would be good warnings. I think this little enigmatic passage is meant to point us back to the law and the prophets for molding our actions. It's meant to point us back to the teachings of Jesus, the one who rose from the dead, to refocus how we are living out those principles today. And I think it's also meant to direct us back to engaging with people we have overlooked or written off for various reasons, because those people have the potential to draw us nearer to God's own heart. I don't totally know what this passage is about. I don't pretend to completely understand it. But I do know that if it can do those things, teach us to listen to the teachings of Moses and the prophets, to see God and other people, and bridge the gaps between us, then this passage is more than worth wrestling with, and we would all be closer to the heart of God in the end. Amen.